First John chapter 2. Yeah, so I will ask you guys, though, please do keep me in prayer whenever, when I see throughout scriptures, one thing that people did solicit often was prayers. Just because, even as we talked about last week, that this is a spiritual thing that we're in. And so, and our battle isn't against flesh and blood. So, obviously, whenever we engage just are active in anything that is of God, there will be an entire world system that will come against that. So when we pray for each other, and when the Spirit of God leads us to pray for each other, and when we do that, what happens is God works through us on behalf of His body, and things on a spiritual level are fought. Battles on a spiritual level are fought, and it frees up space for us to continue to move forward in what God is doing. So we'll grab one of those Kleenexes for me. Yeah, I might use that. So anyways, I know I don't talk about thank you. I know I don't talk about, you know, like I guess a lot of the other stuff that I go through in the process of all of this, but I do get knocked with a lot of other things. And so and I know there's a huge difference for me when people are praying for me and when people maybe aren't praying for me. I know the difference. And it's just something for everybody. You know, when you pray for people, things change. Just an encouragement and also a request. Okay. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. It says, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." Okay. The scriptures also tell us that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. So one thing that we kind of established is there's a difference between what is being talked about here in the world that that we are told in scripture that our heart shouldn't be there, our love shouldn't be there, our affections, our affinities shouldn't be with this, and then why. Now, as we've been going through and spending some time here, some of the stuff that we've been doing has been building on each other. So if we go back and we look, one thing that we established is that the spiritual reality is what's real. The world of spirit is what is real and lasting, and the natural world, the natural reality, what you can see with your eyes, what you can touch, what your senses are, is actually the dream. Now, you're living in it all the time, you're surrounded by it all the time, and so it's kind of sometimes easy to get wrapped up into it, you know. But if we, you say, okay, where was everybody that was here 200 years ago? You know, they're gone. Where did they go? You know, where will we be in 100 years from now? So it's like, okay, wait a second. So there really is nobody that remains here. And yet everybody that's here, I shouldn't say everybody, but most of the people that are here in this life are in this frenzied pace to do what? To accomplish what? So they're involved in something. They're moving towards something, they're working at something. And so we started looking at, now another thing that we talked about in the past has been two kingdoms. Ultimately, in this reality that we're in, there's only the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, or the devil, or Satan. So, and so, what you have is you have, those are really the two that are in operation here, the two that are in place. It's not the kingdom of Sri Lanka and the kingdom of India and the kingdom of Pakistan and the kingdom of France. And no, you have two kingdoms in place that are in operation on a spiritual level, and that really is the reality behind the scenes. Now, overtly, you'll see all kinds of other ways that it manifests, but that's what's happening behind the scenes. Okay, let's go to Acts 26 really quick. I want to touch on some stuff from last time, just since we have new people here again. Yeah, new people here again. How does that work? Okay, Acts 26, and when Saul was giving his testimony, and he said, and he's talking about his conversion experience in verse 14. He said, "And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, 'Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks.' And I said, 'Who art thou, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me.'" Okay, so darkness, light, power of Satan unto God. So you have two, you have the kingdom of God, you have and you have the world, you have the devil, you have the power of Satan, and Satan does have very real power. Without Jesus Christ, without his intervention, a person in and of themselves has no ability to resist the world and the world system that's around them. They will be consumed by it. You can't. It's like a single person trying to stop a train on a track. You couldn't do it. You haven't the ability or the power in you. Now, when the Spirit of God comes upon a person, changes them into Superman, all of a sudden, yeah, sure, no problem. But you can't in and of yourself. So when we start talking about, and we start looking at, okay, Jesus saving us, well, what did he save us from? It wasn't just our sins. It wasn't just so that we could have eternal life. One of the powerful things he saved us from was the world. And so what we started exploring in the last couple of lessons, and the last one in particular, is the world that is here now, this world that's been established, this world system that continues to grow and continues to do the bidding of the one that has been allowed to establish it, which is Lucifer. Now, God allows for this to happen because there's a divine purpose that he has in all of it as well. So he allows them to continue on for some time for a reason. But in this process, that you will see that that this kingdom that's in operation, that's an enemy of God, God lets it function. God lets it go on, but it manifests itself in different ways. So, and one thing you start realizing as we have been going through this, that wait, you are surrounded. you are absolutely surrounded and outnumbered. So last week what we talked about was the economic system of the world and the Luciferic economic system of the world, and there's a lot that we went over, and it was really cool seeing the light bulbs go off in people's heads when they saw, okay, this is why I always have a problem on my job. This is why I am singled out and isolated, and even if I do a great job and I'm diligent in everything that I do, here's why I keep getting attacked. Because the truth is, you are, again, different. Jesus said, if they hate you, remember that they hated me first. And so what happens is light comes into darkness, light comes into the world, and light encounters the world system that's at enmity with God, and that system hates you for who you are, for no other reason than that. Now, it'll say different things, but the truth is it's just because of who you are that you are despised by that system. So I think it's, you know, because of how much information we're going through in this series, it's good to go through at least the last one, you know, and maybe even the overview that we had between the next few weeks. So because it'll start to, you want, if you know what you're in, then you also have an idea of, okay, here's what it really means to follow Christ. You know, I think a disservice has been done by a lot of people that should be teaching by not telling people and not showing them and what the world is really about, because and a lot of times it's because they're already bought into it, so, and they themselves are part of that system, so of course they wouldn't want you to be free because their allegiance is to that system as well. So, but our aim in this is also truth, because Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So he is truth. So when we pursue Jesus, we pursue truth. And in truth, in the light getting turned on sometimes in the room, and then you realize, oh gosh, this room is really, really, really filthy. You know, but at least you know what's in there. So it's good to know, because then you can also start to say, okay, now since I'm in the world but not of it, here's how I should relate to it, and here's how the Father will teach me to relate to it. Okay, so let's recap a couple more scriptures. Luke chapter 4, and Jesus and the temptation when he was being tested. Lucifer said, verse 6, or verse 5 says, and the devil, taking him, Jesus, up into a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Okay. A very real offer for a limited time. But Lucifer, being the prince of the power of the air, the god of this world, this world and the world system that's at enmity with God, makes a very real offer to Jesus. This is the best card that he had to deal, which was, look, I'll give it all to you. And his only requirement was that Jesus would bow down and worship him, that Jesus would submit himself to his lordship. And in doing that, he would get, you know, the whole kit and caboodle right there. I mean, on the spot, no. Now, I'll show you, like, as we continue going through tonight, he makes that offers to others as well, and most of them take that. And the byproduct of them taking that, but they do it because of immediate success in the world. They do that because they get the instant payoff right now. They become something. They're allowed to be a mover and shaker in this world system that we face and we're around. So tonight, what we're going to look at and what we're the part that we're focusing on in this series, the world, it's the political system. So last time it was the economic system. Now tonight it's the political system. One thing we went through last time was Revelation 18, and we showed how the economic system was intertwined with the political system. So, and you'll see that in that they're both in bed together, literally and spiritually. That they're, and so the economic system and how that ran. So we built that one out. Now tonight, this world, this beast system that's in place, manifests in different ways, but they have to cover certain bases. So for the ultimate goal of control and harvesting the soul. So economics is one, political is another. So now Jesus was offered the kingdoms of, he was offered the kingdoms of this world, just like that. You can have it all. So let's flip here really quick now to Revelation 13.
He's headed to turn all of
you. Oh, thank you. Being nice. Okay. Revelation 13. Now, last time when we did this for the economic, we didn't focus on Babylon, the place, but we looked for characteristics. Because again, I want you to start recognizing characteristics rather than people get all caught up on, okay, this is Europe, or this is England, or this is America, or this is New York, or, and everybody's pointing fingers at everybody else, and say, no, step back and start to say, okay, look at some of, Jesus said you'll know a tree by its fruit. So you'll know by the manifestations that are there. So start to look a little bit past these, because see, even there, that's another trap that people get caught up in, is this finger pointing back and forth, and it's all of it is Babylon, all of it's the world. So, okay. So in this, I want you to, as we read through this one, think about what are some of the characteristics of this, as the world starts manifesting, the system, the political system that's there. Okay, Revelation 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there were given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindred and tongues and nations. And all that dwelled upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that it may, as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the number of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Okay. Just if you were thinking characteristics, what are some characteristics that you start to see emerging from this? If you were to say, okay, here are some traits, some attributes to the political aspect.
You mean comparing these to real life?
If you were to describe, for example, all right, there's used several animals at the start. Are any of these nice, cozy, comfy animals that you would cuddle with? You know? No. What do you have? You have. You have a leopard. You have a bear. You have a mouth of a lion, and all of them get power from a dragon. Now you remember, like David, when he was talking about, he said, before he fought Goliath, and he had to rescue sheep from a bear and from a lion. So there's these things devour sheep. These things, and we are called sheep. In fact, even last time when we went through the economic system, one of the things that we talked about, and one of the things that was there in chapter 18, in fact, I can just flip there, it's only a couple pages over, but in Babylon, or in that system, that in verse 24 it said, and in her were found the blood of the prophets and of the saints and of all that were slain upon the earth. So you see certain things about this system in the way that it relates to the people of God. And no, these are not cuddly animals. These are not the systems that are in place that have the best interest of people at heart. These are...
struggling.
There's power, yeah. There's definitely an element of power and even warring and biting and devouring within. So,
like the politician.
Yeah. There's definitely a power struggle. Okay, one thing to see here too is verse 2 says, and the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. Okay, Ephesians chapter 6 says that and that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. So the fight that we have in our time here on earth is against spiritual wickedness in high places. So you see here that spiritual wickedness in high places deliberately gives an empowering to those that serve the system. So there is an empowering, a spiritual energy, a spiritual equipping by the dark side, because you have the light and you have the dark, the power of Satan and the power of God. So you have a deliberate empowering by satanic forces so that they have the ability to carry out their instructions and their mandates. So, like, if you've ever watched any of those videos of Hitler, have you ever seen those? Are you fine? Come. If you've ever watched, right, tonight, part three, the world political system. Cool. All right. If you've ever watched a video of Hitler from when he would give a speech, and you can see a definite moment, even as he begins, where all of a sudden there's like a switch that goes on in him, and then it's like a different person, and there's this energy, and there's this, and you see the crowds, everybody's like, "Sieg Heil!" And they all, because there is a spiritual empowering that takes place for that person. And the same thing happens, it's a counterfeit of the truth, which is what happens with the Spirit of God in His people. In that the Spirit of God, when somebody speaks for, it happens with me. If I will go stand up and I will speak in a place for God, and even now, His Spirit takes over the vessel, and the preacher that's on the inside, Christ on the inside, speaks through. And so I just kind of move out of the way and He speaks through. Now I'm very conscious and aware of what's going on, but it's Him speaking through me, and that's why when it'll touch the hearts of lives of people wherever they're at, no matter what's going on, because there is that empowering by the Spirit of God that knows where you are. So it's not even the words, but it's like, oh gosh, you know, you sense that, you feel that, because that's what God does. Now, again, the power of Satan and the power of God. So on the satanic side, on the world side, on the world system side, there's an empowering that they get as well. And they go through great efforts to make sure that they get as much power as possible. So they'll do a lot of things and a lot of stuff behind the scenes to try to boost their power. And so to attract demonic energy, if you do a little bit of research on Hitler, he was, there was a lot of interesting stuff that this guy was into to try to, there was a spiritual aspect to this guy and a very dark side to him, obviously. So, so in Revelation 13 and verse 2, so you see that they get a spiritual empowering. So you start to see again the overlap between Ephesians 6, where it says that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, high places, and all that. And then you see how this spiritual wickedness in high places empowers the political leadership of the world to do the task. What's the task? John 10:10 says the thief, what does the thief come to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. So the task that they get ultimately in bowing their knee to the world and the world system is the task that they get is to spiritually, motivated by spiritual forces, is to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, again, go back to Proverbs where it says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. So even a lot of these things that will come forward will seem right to the natural eye, will seem like the right course of action, but anything done apart from the Spirit of God ultimately leads to death, spiritual and natural. So they will come up with programs, they will come up with ideas, they will come up with initiatives, they will come up with tax schemes, they will come up with, will fight wars. All of this stuff, but ultimately, it's being promoted, being prompted, being initiated by demonic forces that in the end seek to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's what they do. And they do it through these people that have bowed their knee to the world and the world system. Does that make sense? Okay. So, alright. Another characteristic that you start to see is that in the natural, it's unbeatable. So, in verse 4, you, and this is something to realize, that you in and of yourself, you have no ability to war against this thing in the natural. And if you were to try, you would in essence become again part of the very problem that you seek to fight. Our weapons, the weapons of our warfare, are not carnal, but they're powerful in Christ Jesus to the tearing down of strongholds. It's that we fight with spiritual weapons.
So is that saying door for anti-political rallies and that kind of thing, or are you saying?
No, it's saying that anything that you would do would be led by the Spirit of God. So if the Spirit of God would lead you to go that way, then there would also be a spiritual empowering behind that action. So, and this is why too, again, it's so important that each of you connect up with the Spirit of God for yourself, so that you can receive the instruction and the direction that He will send you in. See, the world moves like a big bunch of bees. So it's like just over here. So they're just kind of like, it's a big pack of wolves. You, as an individual, you're moved around by the Spirit of God as He wills. You're very nimble, you're very quick, you're very responsive. You'll always run circles around the world in spirit. But it's important that you know Him for yourself so that you can do that. But that the actions that you would take are not based on your natural carnal thinking. Because again, and also not to get wrapped up in the affairs of the world. Because so you have to connect up with your true self, which is in spirit, seated in heavenly places, past all of the stuff going on. Because again, all the stuff going on seeks to wrap you up into it so that you are not connected with who you really are. So Siddhartha in Buddhism tried to do that, but he got to the second heavens and he kind of stopped there. So he had very real spiritual experiences, but he never broke through to what's accessible in Christ, because you hit your wall of human limitation. Okay. Another thing is verse 5, that God allows it to exist for a time. So realize that the system that's here, the world that you see, all of this stuff, that God allows it. And I know it's a hard thing sometimes to stomach, because it's like, gosh, it is so wicked. I mean, it is so cruel. If you start to see so much of what is happening and going on, and you're like, I mean, it's just left and right. There's poverty, and there's sexual exploitation, and there's just oppression, and just, I mean, you just go down this list of stuff that people go through and encounter in living here, and then you see, and it's given time to continue on, and it's like, whoa, you know. But a few things. But one, realize that God allows it to go on for a period of time, and there's a reason behind it. And I won't pretend to know all of the reasons, but I do know that one thing that for sure is that there is that God is glorified by His people being in the world and not of the world, and existing in this reality and bearing fruit, and which is the character and the nature of God, in spite of everything else that goes on, that we exist here as a complete rebellion to that system, and just a complete reminder to anybody that would be in it, including every demonic force that would be there, that, oh yeah, you lost, and God is still in control and able to, in spite of all of their power, all of their ability, they still can't crush you. They still can't get rid of you, even if they want to, because He still protects you. He still watches over you. He still provides for you. In all of their ways that they try to impoverish and destroy God's people, He still feeds them day to day, and they can't get rid of them. And it's just like, so He still is glorified in that. He still is glorified in a bride being refined and for Himself, and so preparing her even for himself through everything that you go through. So through this whole love story that we walk through in this life of being restored unto him, he's glorified in that. So because we experience separation for a time, and then now the process of finding that love again and then going through this whole thing, there's a glorification that happens, and it does take some time. So he allows for it. He allows for us to exist in this. Now at the end of it, there is no tears. It's, you wake up from the dream. You're like, gosh, you know, oh wow, what was that that I just experienced? But right now,
so
it's...
Why do we go through all those tears?
I know. well, there's part of the purpose, and I don't know all of it, but definitely part of it is that God is glorified in all of this. And really, too, when you come to Christ, you die to this world and you're alive in him. So it is no longer about you anymore anyways. So you literally died to this world. The whole process of baptism is just this statement that you died to this world, and there's a new creation, which is Christ in you, that exists here now. And so it's just this open declaration to anybody that would have eyes to see that, that this is what's happened now. So, but God, God is, allows for this whole thing to exist for a time. Now, not indefinitely. And that's the thing, is that they also realize that, especially the higher up in the hierarchy, the demonic hierarchy that you go, the more aware they are of the limits of their time that they have. So it's kind of like the sinking ship, and they're working very fast to take down as many people as possible in the process. So if they can get you, they're really happy. and that's about the last thing they have to feel good about, is to try, is how many more people they can take down with them as they go. Okay, verse 7. The war is with whom ultimately? Who is it with? It's with the saints in verse 7. So the system, the political system of the world, empowered by demonic forces, ultimately their war is with the saints of God, not with countries, so it's again the power of darkness warring against the power of light. So to realize too that the battle is there. The battle is against truth. So the lie is seeking to crush truth. Now, again, here even you see that in this place, and to overcome them, and power was given over all kindred and tongues and nations. So they're allowed to, in the natural, overcome the saints of God. Whereas in the spirit, see, we overcome in the spirit because Jesus again said, you know, in this world you'll have trouble, but take heart, for I have overcome the world. So we, though the world seeks to, and here even is given the power to overcome in the natural, we overcome in the spirit. And so that's why too, and this is again part of your walk in Christ, your preparation, your preparing to die, really, is, and to leave this life, which is what Jesus did. You know, much of what his life was here was continuous preparation for the big one, the continuous preparation for what he would have to do on the cross. So a life of submission to the Father up until whatever that may mean to the very end, and so that he was ready for it when it happened. So the world is given power though over things in the natural, and so it exercises that power. But God and his people overcome in the spirit. Now, verse 8 says that it demands allegiance to that system. And so you see that throughout, in that the world seeks to it demands for and it requires that you buy in to the system. So if you are not part of the system, you are persecuted, you are left out, you are ostracized, you are jailed, you are you're killed. Whereas if you are part of it, and so it seeks your allegiance, your free will given over to it. So there's enticements that come with it, and there's penalties if you don't. And we're going to break down a little bit of Romans 13 later, because you need to be able to understand that within proper context. verse 10, that the effects of, on the saints and on truth. Here it says, referring to saints, and that he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that's killed with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So the encounters that God's people would face, whether it's captivity, whether it's the sword, whether it's whatever we may face, because you've overcome in the spirit, what really happens to you in the natural doesn't matter. So you have to allow the Spirit of God to take you in the Spirit to the point of your own death to this world in everything but the way that you would actually stop breathing. So you would die to every desire, every hope, every dream, everything that you would expect for yourself, because if you don't, what happens is that that'll be some place where the world can entice and seek to bring you back to it, and where you will falter or fail when it does get rough. And it will get rough. I mean, every day that goes by that we're living in right now, it gets tougher and tougher. But as things continue to escalate, it will become even more so. And so people will falter to the extent that they still have an affection in the world.
Does God honor you being strong in the face of, you know,
the
potential to falter?
Yeah, for sure. There is, yeah, but even there it's like, okay, you know, because we still think of it in terms of a natural, yeah, you know, like the way that the world would, you know, put somebody up and give them a medal and you know, a nice corner office, and that's how the world would honor. I mean, it's an honor from the Lord to experience His presence,
yeah,
and for that to envelop you, and you will definitely experience that if you persist in the midst of everything else. And so when the world goes right and you go left with the Spirit of God, and you go that way, that may be wilderness, but in the wilderness His presence is there. Though the world will have everything else, but you have what really matters. So yes, He honors you. You know, and whatever else is there is cool, but that's really His call. verse 12, when it says that He exercises all the power of the first beast before Him, and causes the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. Okay, it keeps coming back. This beast system will continue to come back as long as the earth in its current form continues to exist. So, again, why? Because there's a spiritual empowering that's taking place. There's spirit that's behind it. So, for example, if England ceased to exist tomorrow, something were to happen, and whatever would come back there or even somewhere else, you would see the same emergence of the same system again, because there is a spiritual aspect behind it that works through human agents to create this. So when people get mad at America, well, okay, wipe America off off the map, but it would still come back again. In that the Babylon system, the world system that's there, it's a spiritual system that continues to seek to come back over and over and again. And the only way that it's destroyed is at the root. But allowed to manifest and continue on, it'll keep coming back. And it's always, and how does this one has the same, it says that it had the that it has the exercise the power of the first beast. Well, where the first beast gets the power? It got it from the serpent, the dragon, the Lucifer, who gave it to him. So it gets the same power again from the same source, because they bow their knee to that system, to that world. And for the purpose of what? So that they can have the kingdom, so they can have the, so they can be something on the world stage. Okay. Verse 13 is deceptive and it's powerful. So realize that it's also a deception. So much of what you see, much of what's reported, is never what's real. So if you really want to know what's going on, you have to dig deeper, and you have to you realize that your information is controlled, that what's told to you, and in this country for sure, you know that. I mean, it's with much of the media and all of that. But the system itself, by nature, is the deceptive. Lucifer is the father of all lies. So obviously, if he's the father of all lies, those that would serve him would be liars as well. And so, because they are, you realize, okay, and it is deception, but for a purpose, to rot, to steal, to kill, to destroy. So realize that that is the game. And again, allegiance to the system. Verse 16, and this is kind of interesting, because you also see this, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their hand or on their forehead, so that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Well, six is again, the number that represents man, so it's like this unholy trinity, or this, but it's, again, allegiance to the system, to the world, for provision. When we went through at the start and we talked about how we, God's children, survive here, seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Speaking of what you need, God will provide it and take care of you as you seek him first, as you trust him. He will find a way to get it to you. But this one says is a trust in the world, and so what they do is they give an allegiance to the world system in exchange for provision. So they trust the world and the God of this world to take care of them, and they give their heart and their allegiance over to that. And political leadership and economic leadership of the world also seek to streamline that process so people can do that. So, I mean, right now, practically speaking, what you see happening in the world is consolidation of currencies and the move to a cashless society. And in the not-too-distant future, I was just going through, just even from some of the stuff that I'm around, how many different ways that they can sell if they wanted to chip you and to put a chip in your hand. How many different ways that could be sold to you?
Yeah, or, that's already practiced in some areas.
Yeah, so, you can go through safety of children, you know, protect your child and be able to track them, or convenience, or fraud and identity theft, or drugs, or human trafficking, and I really believe that they'll probably wrap it up into the issue of terrorism. Because, and you know, if you don't want to get it, well, you have to be a terrorist then, because why wouldn't you want this unless you had something to hide? So it's literally, and so ultimately it'll be, and if you don't have the spiritual discernment to realize what this really is and the spiritual level where this is coming from, people will line up in droves to take this. The vast majority of the world, and even people that you know, and even people that you love, will take it, will go with it. Somebody was telling me today, even from HSBC, how you know, if you have that you have those little
pin number
electronic things, and they'd asked them, they said, boy, you know, you've gone from they had like some secure card before, and then now they have these little, you punch this button and it gives you a code. And they said, you know, what's next? And the guy said, well, the next thing is just a chip, you know, in the hand, is what they said. And because they said, you know, because right now the problem is that they're saying that these things can get stolen, and if they get stolen, they're still having some fraud that's taking place. So the only way that they can secure that and keep from fraud happening there is to actually put it physically on your body. I'm about to take my money out of there, actually. And even there too, there will come a point where you'll have to let it all go. All of it. And whatever it is that you have in the world, if you're still here and still around. And in fact, and again here, spiritually you should have done that already anyways. Because all of this stuff is one in spirit first. Or it's lost in spirit first. So spiritually, if you're following Christ, you should have let it all go anyways. You should be willing to and have done that. So if there is a natural occurrence where you would lose everything, it doesn't matter. You already lost it in the spirit anyways. You're dead to this world. You're already trusting Him to provide for you anyways. So whether you have a little or you have a lot, it's Him that gives it to you in the first place. Him that takes care of you in the first place. And whatever's there is up to Him. It's His call. And So it's like, so when this stuff comes... But there's also a discipline that must be built up in the spirit so that you can walk through this. So when this stuff comes, God's people won't face them. They'll just walk away. But the people that have something still in the world have a vested interest in the outcome of what happens in the world, and their heart in the world will not be willing to let it go. So, and that's why too, for those that have little, it is easier to make that decision. But the rich young ruler, he couldn't go with Jesus, and he didn't get another shot. You know, Jesus, and when Jesus gave him that statement, he said, "All right, first go sell everything and then follow me." He just cut to the chase with that and said, "All right, this is your issue. This is what's keeping you from following me." And the guy went away sad. And he knew it, but he still couldn't make the decision to trust God. So God will test you in all those spots. Allow the Spirit of God to test you, but you have to come to an end of all of this stuff, and He'll bring you to the death of it. So there will be a point, though, that you just have to let it go. In the Spirit, it happens first. And then whether it happens in the natural or not, it's irrelevant. Because if you lose it all, He'll take care of you anyways, if you're following Him. Okay. Now, if we're talking about characteristics of these guys, so if we're talking about the world and world leaders, what are some things that are characteristics of them? I started pulling some stuff. One is that they have bowed their knee to Satan in exchange for their reward here. So just as the offer was made to Jesus, and Jesus was offered the whole thing. Now many of them have taken sections or parts, so they don't get offered the whole thing, but they get offered some level within the structure. And it's a satanic hierarchy. Now at the top of it is Lucifer. So at the top of the pyramid, the capstone on that pyramid is Lucifer. And so these guys get different places and rankings within the pyramid on that. And so depending on their ability to control those below them and work their way up and kiss their way up to the top. But also within that system, now if the thief steals, kills, and destroys, their acceleration in that system would be based on what? How well they steal, kill, and destroy. So if you were to accelerate in the world political system, the way that you would get to the top of the one that Lucifer endorses is how well you steal and kill and destroy people. So now, well, these demonic forces that are there. There's also that empowering that goes into people for that purpose. So many times what happens is, because, see, here's what happens too. When somebody bows their knee to Lucifer, again, now they're not there anymore anyways. The same thing like happens where a person bows their knee to the Father, to truth, to Jesus, and he would come alive in Christ and you'd be dead to this world. They have the counterfeit, which is that a person thinks that, oh, okay, now I'll become a mover and shaker in the world. They bow their knee to the world, but then what happens is that their soul gets scalped, and then now it's a demonic indwelling presence into the shell, which was the body, and the real person is not really there anymore. It's a demonic oversoul, a demonic force that comes into them that uses that person now for the purpose. So you'll still see the president of such and such country, the form, the person to the outward sense, but there's a demonic power that is in that person that works through that person for the purposes that they would give them the spot in the first place. So, and sometimes I've noticed this even with myself, as God has continued to develop me in spirit, where I can start to see things in spirit, and I can start to, so I'll meet somebody and I will see the spirit that may be controlling that person. So, because I've met several world leaders, and all of a sudden it's like I will see something in the spirit, I'm like, whoa, you know, that is on this person, or that is in this person. And it's like, okay, it's not what you see with your eyes. So okay, so again, they're indwelt world leaders, and those that are in the world, they're indwelt by demonic forces, so they're energized by those. So our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, spiritual wickedness in high places. They're indwelt and empowered by those. So now here's it's an energizing that takes place in them to do that task. And that's why too, sometimes you hear them speak, it's like, wow, they're amazing orators. You know, they're just, you know, have this, or even if they're bad orators, they're like, they just have a draw, a magnetism to them. So you'll hear them and they'll just be like, you know, you can just see how people are drawn to this person. And this person just has that ability, that charismatic. It's not the person, it's the spiritual empowering that's there. And again, the power of Satan that draws people to them. Okay, a little bit behind the scenes. Dysfunctional sexuality. Many of them are gay or pedophiles, and I mean, you've seen this too. With how many of you saw that just here in this country when they send out around that Facebook? The Facebook profiles for? I mean, just kind of like a joke, but how almost? Yeah. How for almost every politician, there was this insinuation based on stuff that's come out in the media and stuff that's come out in the press and things about sexual behavior of these guys. And how many politicians in the States, this is the stuff you know about, have even been busted even recently for hitting on or trying to have sex with a guy in the next door bathroom stall. Yeah, I mean, literally. I mean, these are congressmen. These are, so. This is the system. But there's a reason for that. See, if you were, now think like a devil for a moment. If you were putting people in positions where they would have to make decisions, and the outcome of the decision would be to steal, to kill, or to destroy, and there still may be some component in them of morality or conscience possibly still there, wouldn't you want something else on them besides just, you would want as much to be able to blackmail, to be able to influence,
ashamed of themselves.
Exactly. To guilt and shame is also the part of the system of the world. So with these people, so many times what will happen is that they will be pedophiles and they'll have something on them, and they'll have a video of them having sex with a child or something like that, so that if that comes to the point of, okay, now we need you to vote on resolution 12371, and vote yes, and oh, by the way, if you don't, here's our little VCD that'll go on YouTube, you know, or, you know, we'll get mail to your wife or your kids that are away at college, or you see how, again, they get trapped in that system. And so there's people that have done research, a lot of research on this stuff, that, and of course their books are never released in the mainstream, of course no major publishing. The world is not going to pick it up and say, oh yeah, over here, this is what's really going on. But there are people that have dug in and found out. So, so offstage, these people are oftentimes, they're weak, and they have issues that, well, the big three, sex, power, money, you know, within the world, those areas, they have Proverbs 25 verse 28 says, like a city that its walls are broken down is like a man that has no self-control. So literally they have the walls in their lives are broken down, so stuff is coming, spiritual forces are coming in and going out as they please with them, and in these areas, so they're broken down in those areas. So okay, so again, spiritually they're in bed with the whore, which is the financial system of the world, which we talked about last week a little bit. So, and then, and again, the world leaders, now they do the work of their spiritual master, which is the devil. Okay, now, God does, on occasion, raise up somebody and put them in a position, because he has done that. So you will see like a Joseph or a Daniel, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, how would you contrast these guys? Because the wheat and the tares do grow together. And so God has this ability to put his people again in positions. Now, this is his work. This is not ours. So this is him choosing to put somebody in a position. So what are some characteristics of these people that would fulfill that?
They would be outspoken for the truth, kind of.
Yeah.
They would be scared.
Yeah, for sure.
They have strength, wisdom to see past others.
Yeah. I started noting down a few. That these guys, just even the ones that I mentioned, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, Joseph, Daniel, okay, they walk in sexual purity. Joseph, you know, pretty Potiphar's wife going after him and all of that, but just they didn't have any desire for material gain. You know, when Daniel, when they said, oh, quick, come in, give us the interpretation for this, and, you know, we'll give you a gold chain for your neck, and, you know, be the third highest ruler in the kingdom, and we'll give you all these gifts. And he's like, look, keep your gifts. Yeah, but I will tell you what this means, because God has a message for you. So, they were all spiritually gifted for the task at hand. And this is God's grace and empowering on their life. They all underwent intense persecution for their faith and for their faithfulness. So they didn't encounter persecution for the job that they were doing, or their integrity in their work, or the proficiency of, just purely for who they were in Christ. They encountered, they were, tried to throw them to the lions, tried to get them burned alive, stuck them in jail for years on end. And they went through hell before they ever got to those positions too. And they were allowed to go through that as well. They all had miraculous placement, because they shouldn't have been in those positions by the way the world works, but God worked somehow to miraculously put them in those spots where they shouldn't have been, and the world kept trying to get rid of them. And they were faithful throughout, and they were always in a very, very small minority, so they were always outnumbered. But God does put His people in positions, so not to say that everybody in every one of those places is wicked evil, but the system itself is certainly is, and He puts His people in there for His purposes, you know. And sometimes it's just to so that they have a witness in the middle of all that they're doing, that God speaks to them. I mean, I went while I was in the States. I was in a very one of the places I was at was a very it's probably one spot in America where a lot of the controllers live for that country. And I met a lot of detached, soulless people there. But in the middle of that place, I met one lady that just was on fire and connected with Jesus. And, you know, and just connected, like, but God had her there in the middle of all of that. So, you know, it's His placement. He puts people there. Okay. And now, okay, flip to Romans 13. Realizing that, and now this is again a little bit of, Romans. Okay, Romans 13. Now, anytime you come to Scripture, and now this is something that's completely mistaught in most places in America that I've been to, but keeping in mind what we've already gone through and read about the world, the world system, and how the political system of the world works. Now, all right, let's read this, and then we have to bring it into proper context. All right, Romans chapter 13. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that are ordained, the powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to do thee to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Wherefore ye must need be subject, not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. For this cause pay ye tribute also, for they are God's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. And that knowing the time, that now is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, and not in rioting and drunkenness, nor in chamberings and in wantonness, not in strife and in envy. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Okay, maybe I went a little bit too far. But beginning off in this thing where it talks about being subject to the rulers, the higher powers, and to what extent and how? Because even so, when we start to say, okay, how then do we now live in this world, and you're surrounded by a wicked world system again that's at enmity with God, how then now do you relate to it when it says this is what you need to do? Because see, in America, what they've done, and which we'll get into a little bit next week when we go through the religious systems of the world, which is very different than the followers of the way in Jesus Christ. But one thing that happens is they say, oh, okay, you know, right here, Romans chapter 13, and so they say, take a chip in your hand or in your head or in your butt, and you know, and because it's right here, it's in the Bible, and you know, don't say anything, you know, and because, you know, God's not, how then do you, because again, allow the Spirit of God to lead and guide you. I want to show you two examples here here, flip to Daniel chapter 3. And verse 11 says, and whoso falleth not down and worship, that he should be cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and damasur, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well, be if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning furnace, fiery furnace, and who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful. Keep this in mind, Romans 13. O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. But if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So, okay. So, point here, and there's another one in Acts, if you flip to Acts 4, where Acts 4 and verse 13 through 20, and actually we don't need to read all of that, but just verse 19 where they're talking, or actually just or verse 16, where the Sanhedrin said, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them. It is manifest to all that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them, that they speak henceforth no more in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak or at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, where be it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God judge ye? For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So two different cases. The king and the religious leaders and rulers of the land, but in both cases where it was like, all right, here's the point of limitation, where, you know, we have now crossed into the realm of allegiance, and our allegiance is to the Father, our allegiance is to the Holy Spirit, our allegiance is to Jesus Christ. and we will not and refuse to bow the knee to the world and to the world system and to anything that would ever seek to question our allegiance with him. So it's not like Jesus said even to Lucifer, he says, you know, you will worship the Lord your God and him only shall you serve. That's it. That's the only way that we'll go. So as far as it is, even with Romans 13, as far as it is in line with truth. So it says, because even verse 3 says, for rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou not be afraid of the power to do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same? So as long as it's in line with the way, the truth, and the life, cool. You know, we can go with that. We can support that. We can, but as soon as it's something that now, on a spiritual level, demands allegiance to the world and the world system, no, we've come out from that and we refuse to go that way. So anytime, and even Paul that wrote that in Romans, he himself didn't go with that when he was commanded by the Sanhedrin and by different people not to speak in the name of Jesus. And he's like, no, I'm going that way. So you have to diminish Romans 13 in line with, that's why, okay, the whole scripture is a big buffet and you have to eat all of it. You know, it's not, you can't pick and choose. And so, because otherwise when people pick and choose, ultimately they create a reality that suits them and it's expedient for their agendas. So, and in as much as it does not conflict with the way, the truth, and the life, it's okay. Otherwise, no. So we have a spiritual allegiance to the Father. We have a spiritual allegiance to Christ Jesus. And in that way that we go, we refuse to compromise that. So we have come out from the world, but we're still here because he chooses us to be here. So while we're here, we're about the purposes that he would have, but never will we allow for our allegiances to be split in any way. So we come to him with our whole hearts and we stay that way. So, okay. So we'll stop there for now. Got a little bit long, but do you start to see a little bit more now the context of that element? Questions?
It's good that you've broken it up, the economic side and political. I think that helps. If you never,
otherwise, it's a big jumble.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, it all overlaps in that the religious works with the political works with the economic, all of this stuff is, I mean, like this cashless society that's forming right now in the world. Do you think these guys are sitting down? Some of them are at some tables here and there and discussing how can we streamline processes and stuff. But no, the whole thing is being orchestrated by a higher intelligence on a spiritual level and being channeled through these people. So they don't necessarily realize what they're doing. They're just doing as they're being pulled along by the spirits that control them to create this and to do this. So they're moving very quickly towards their own destruction. But they themselves don't even realize necessarily what they're doing. Even like when Jesus was praying for the guys who were crucifying him, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And even right now, as the world is moving towards its own destruction, destroying itself at a rate, it's like we pray for them too. It's like, Father, forgive them, restore them, bring them to you. They don't know what they're doing to themselves.
What if there's a law that says, you know, it's compulsory that you have a chip planted?
Then you make your decision.
And
will you be an outlaw? I mean, it's literally, will you be an outlaw at that point? And see, this is why too, if you...
We are moving in that direction. What is the point of, you know, having children?
Good question.
Because that's something I always think about, you know, this world has come to end.
But you know, the other side of it too is that the world has been coming to an end for 2,000 years. it's been coming to an end since there was sin in the garden, and it's been on the way in that, it's like, okay, even with all of this, it's back to the Father, and it's back to the Spirit-led life, where you would say, okay, Lord, if you would get married, if you would have kids, if you would do a job, whatever it may be, that's all led by Him. That's all orchestrated by Him. That's all under His leadership, His direction, His guidance. And so it's like, so even that's a real question. You're like, all right, Lord, I have a desire to have a family, but I put it before You, and that's my greatest desire, will be to follow You. My greatest desire is for Your leadership and Your guidance. Anything else that comes back to me in this life is really Your call. And so if it becomes part of your life, great. If it doesn't, then that's okay too, because He loves you. And so again, it's like, not to say, because yeah, I mean, you can go that route, but it's like, really just to trust Him in that. And so, because also too, children are a gift from God, and they're beautiful. I've got a niece and a nephew that are just gorgeous. And they're children that are blessed by God, and I know God has a purpose and a plan for their life, and they're very special. And I'm glad that they're in the world, and that they're His kids, because the impact of their life is a positive, really, really nice thing. So.
And sometimes they can make, you don't know, you might think, okay, if I have a child, what's the point? But that he or she can make a difference. Maybe, everything
is,
it's around God's purpose and plan. So we don't know, like, that person could really make a difference in the world.
Yeah. Like, my mom could have chosen to not have me. And so, anyways, so, yeah, I mean, what the best thing to do is, with every desire that you have, is to put it before God. Really, really, really is. Because instead of saying, okay, Lord, and He really allows for you to do that. And you say, and you're honest with Him. You have to be honest with Him. And you just say, God, okay, this is me. This is how I feel. This is something that I would like. This is something that I would want. This is a desire that's there. I lay it down before You. You deal with it. You show me how I'm supposed to relate to this. So, because we're made also a certain way. So it's like, you have to allow Him to have lordship over every area of your life. So, because otherwise too, what happens is the world will use anything you hold on to in the world as a leverage point to access your life. So for example, say this whole thing, a chip scenario. Well, if you don't take a chip, we're going to blow the brains off of your kid, right in front of you. Well, if you're a loving father or a loving mother, and you're like, oh gosh, well, I'll just repent to God later. No, I mean, God's very clear about something like this. But if you have children that have been raised up in the knowledge and in connection with the Spirit of God, and you know where they are in spirit and their connection with Him, then it's like, it isn't an issue, because it's like, whether they live or they die, they're with the Father. And whether you live or die in this world, you're with Him. So it's like, but if somebody would have their, so it would be a traumatic situation for people to have to go through. And these are like those what if scenarios, but very real possibilities, because people are often put to that test in the world many times. They're like, oh, if you wouldn't want something to happen to your family, would you? So, but that's why too, it's so important that you are connected with Him for yourself, and that your connection is real, and that so that you can call on Him, so that He also, many times He'll protect you from that stuff. He keeps you out of that. So, And if you would ever have to go through something like that, he would also strengthen you and show you what to do, or make a way out for you, or, but whatever it is, it's still his call. So, okay, let's stop. We can keep going. Take it somewhere else. Alright, let's just pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, again, Father, for this night. We thank you, Father, for your word. Lord, we know, Lord, that we're in the world, but we're not of it, Father. And because, Lord God, we belong to you, Father, and we seek your guidance, your leadership, your strengthening, Father, your kingdom to come and your will to be done, Father, we yield ourselves to that. And Lord, I just pray right now, Lord, for my brothers and my sisters in Christ, Lord, that you would strengthen them, Father, that they would realize, Lord God, that in the midst of all that they're around and surrounded by, the Lord, that the joy of the Lord would be their strength, Father, that the peace that passes all understanding would guard their hearts and flood their souls, Lord God. And Lord, I pray, Father, the Lord, that that they would know, Lord, your love in all of this. And Father, every desire, every hope, every dream, that it would be submitted to you, Lord God, and that they would receive from you, Lord, the life that you have for them. Father, you said, I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly. And so, Lord, what you came and what you've given us is abundant life. And so I pray, Father, that everyone, Lord, would release, Father, every hope for something in this world that's really not life. And Lord, that they would grab hold of true life that's in you, Lord Jesus, that's offered freely in you, Lord God, and that they would live and move and have their being in you and in that life that you give. So thank you, Father God. We pray for those that couldn't come this evening, Lord, that you would be with them, that you'd protect them, Lord, that you'd watch over them, that you'd bless the work of their hands, Lord, for all of us, Lord, that you'd bless the work of our hands and what it is that we do that's led and directed by you. And Lord, we thank you, Father God, that you're with us. We pray, Lord, as we go into the rest of this week and the start of next, the Lord, that you would watch over us and keep us, Lord, and continue to teach us by your Spirit as we go. We go on, Father God, in Jesus.